Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Today, we are actually right in the middle of a very interesting story. Last week, we looked at this story a little bit. It's where Jesus comes to answer the prayers of Mary and Martha. Do you remember Mary and Martha? And what happened to their brother? Do you remember what happened to their brother? Wasn't good. What'd he do?
He died.
He sure did. He done died. Mary and Martha are very sad, right? They asked Jesus, Jesus, come to where we're at. Maybe you can heal Lazarus. Jesus didn't come. But there was a reason. You know what the reason is, right? We're going to find out about it later on next week. It's going to be amazing. You will never expect what happens. But one of the things that's really interesting about why Jesus didn't come right away is that, bless you. You all right? Good. Is that Jesus answers prayers in a way that always glorifies his Father, always displays his glory. Why is that important? Why is it important that Jesus answers our prayers to reveal his glory? The reason that's important is because in order for us to see who Jesus really is, in order for us to trust him more, it helps us a lot to see more and more of who Jesus is. He displays his glory for our good. To help us to see that God really is trustworthy. He really is worthy of our trust and of our praise and of our obedience. So this is a really important reason why Jesus chose to stay where he is. So we're waiting to see how Jesus is going to display his glory next week. But in the meantime, I want us to look at a psalm. Psalm 18. Psalms are really interesting because what psalms do, the psalms, there's 150 psalms, there's actually five books in the book of Psalms, and they all tell different stages of Israel's story. And one of the really interesting things about the psalms is that they reflect our lives. They reflect our lives. They help us to put into words different things that we're going through. But they don't just do that. They also guide us to see the things in our life that are going on and to guide us to see them from God's perspective, to help us to see our life in the way that God has always wanted us to see our life. So what the Psalms often do is it takes us where we're at, and then it brings us into God's perspective. So this is what Psalms often do. And we're going to see a little bit of that in Psalm 18, where David goes through, he's reflecting back on his life. And he's seeing all kinds of ways that God has cared for him. And this Psalm 18 is going to be a lot like what Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are going to be experiencing next week in their lives as well. So, let's look at Psalm 18. Now, let me give you a little bit of background of Psalm 18. Do you remember David was about 15 years old, roughly? He was a young teenager. He was out in the fields one day. One of his brothers comes and gets him and says, David, you'll never guess who's at our house. It was Samuel, the great prophet. Samuel had come to visit them. It's like, wow, That's amazing. So David goes and he the other brother takes care of the sheep for him, and he runs over to the house, and Samuel sees him and a big smile shines on his face and he says, "You're the one." "I'm the what?" "You're the one. God has anointed you, chosen you to be the next king of Israel." And David's like, "You're crazy." A little bit, because he's just a shepherd boy, right? Samuel says, "Nope, God said to me, you are going to be the next king of Israel." And so Samuel anointed David that day to be the next king of Israel. So after David receives this promise to be the next king, the interesting thing that happens to David is that he goes through all kinds of struggles, all kinds of difficulties. Life becomes very, very hard for David. Do you remember when David defeated the giant Goliath? Man, everybody was excited. But King Saul became very jealous, and he decided to take David's life. He was hunting him down, trying to find any possible way to get rid of David. And that was a very tough time, because think about it. The king wants you dead. That's not good, is it? It's a tough time to be in. The king, Saul can do whatever he wants to because he's the king, and he can spend whatever he wants to in order to make it happen. You are basically, there's nothing you can do to stop him. You're a fugitive in your own country because the most powerful person in the country wants to kill you. That's called being in a tough spot. And that's exactly where David was. From the time Samuel anointed David, the little shepherd boy, to be the king, until the day that he became king, was 15 years. David had to wait 15 years for Samuel's promise, or for God's promise through Samuel, to actually come true. So David becomes king, and he's looking back through his life, and he's looking at all of the different ways that God miraculously rescued him. And he's reflecting in all the ways that God had taken care of him through those 15 years of very, very hard, hard times. And he reflects on those and he thanks God for it. And Psalm 18 is basically a testimony of David describing how good and how faithful God had been to him during that time. What's really interesting is this song that David sings here must have meant a whole lot to David, because at the end of David's life, he re-sings this song in remembrance of how God has taken care of him, not just him becoming king, but also throughout his whole life as the king. So today we get to look at that, and we get to learn a little bit of how David's confidence of God's deliverance in his life can also become our confidence in God's deliverance in our lives. So this is a long psalm. We're not going to look at all of the verses, but we're going to look at the main verses to help us see a little bit. And also, take time to read this psalm today in your own personal time and see how, look through it and meditate on it and focus on those words, because they will help you to see more of God's faithfulness in your life. So, Psalm 18, David starts out this psalm with a burst of praise and love for God for how he has taken care of him. Psalm chapter 18, look at verse 1. "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." Verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler," that means a shield, "my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Verse 3, "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." You see in verse 2, David gives God a lot of names, doesn't he? See all those names in there? Go back to verse 2, really, will you? Real quick. Verse 2. All these names, I was like, why did David give God all these names? And I feel like he's kind of reflecting back through those 15 years, how God protected him. And there's different words he uses to remind him of different moments in his life where God rescued him and saved him. Each word is like a memory of David experiencing God's protection in his life. A rock in which he could hide. Maybe one day he was hiding, he was running away from Saul's armies, and then God provided a rock, and he was able to hide in the rock and be rescued from the danger. Maybe one day it was a fortress in which to where he could be defended from his enemies. Maybe a deliverer who helps him to escape. Maybe it was a source of supernatural strength when he was at his weakest point. He didn't have any more strength or energy in him, and God gave him extra strength, and he was able to escape. Maybe it was a shield to protect him from attacks, a powerful horn like a ram's horn of protection. You know how rams hit their horns like this? Like a powerful horn of protection. A high tower to warn David of an approaching enemy. Moments in David's life where God helped him and rescued him. Can I ask you a question? If you were writing Psalm 18, what would be some words that would be a memory for you of how God protected you and took care of you? If you were writing the Psalm, what would be some words you would give to God in your life for how he has protected and how he has cared for you? It's interesting, isn't it? Makes you think, oh man, what could I write? It's also to remember, though, that these memories, these things that we see that David describes of who God is, actually happen in the middle of very hard times. They are literally when David is struggling and crying out to God for help. They are moments of fear, moments of worry, times when things looked hopeless. It was in these times that God showed David that nothing was beyond his power to deliver him from his struggles. Know that you're not alone. You're not alone. And this is exactly what Jesus is getting ready to show Mary and Martha. And those times when it seems like there is no hope, Jesus is still there. He's still there. He's ready to bring you deliverance, even from the most hopeless of circumstances. He's still there. Maybe for Lazarus, it's Jesus is my open grave. I don't know, something like that, right? Maybe right now you're going through something that's really tough. Maybe right now you're going through some struggle. Seems like there's no end. There's no way out. Maybe you're afraid of what you have to face. Your heart is full of distress over what you're going through. Know that you are not alone. David felt those moments of hopelessness and God came through. Mary and Martha are feeling those moments of helplessness and Jesus comes through. Whatever you're going through, know that he is there. Verse 4 and verse 5 reminds us of this. The sorrows of death compassed me. They surrounded me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Verse 5. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented. They came against me. In those times of distress, know that God has not forsaken you. So cry out to him. Call to him. Let him know your feelings. He will hear you. Look at what David says in verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. David's cry reached the ears of God himself. Oh, that's great, Red Steve, but I'm not David. Like, David was a man after God's own heart. I'm just little old me. why in the world is God going to pay attention to me? I'm no David. It's important to remember that it isn't because of who David is that God answered his prayer. It is because of who God is that he answers prayer. That's because of who God is that he answers prayer. God is unchanging. He doesn't change. And this doesn't apply just to time, like he's the same yesterday and today and forever. It also applies to those who belong to him. He loves you just as much as he loves David. You are precious in his eyes, just as David was precious in God's eyes. If you have put your faith in his son, Jesus, you belong to God. God hears your cry. His rescue is coming. What's one thing that's interesting about God's rescue is a lot of times you never know when it comes until it's there. You never know it's coming until it's there. There's rarely a time when you say, God's answer is coming in 3 days. So I just got to hold on for 3 more days. And once the 3 days come, then I'll be okay. Usually you can't guess when God's coming. You know, Mary and Martha tried that, right? Man, they were like, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Hint, hint, get over here, right? And guess what happened? Jesus didn't come. They were expecting him and he didn't come. He didn't come for 4 days. Sometimes we wonder and hope and plan for Jesus's answer. And Jesus's answer is very different from our expectations, right? A lot of times God's rescue arrives when you least expect it. But when it comes, man, you know it. We're not going to have time to read it. But in verses 7 through 15, David describes the power of God's rescue. Saul had a lot of power to kill David. He had all of the resources of Israel. He was the king. He could do whatever he wanted to. All of Saul's resources and all of God's power, or all of Saul's power to kill David, but it wasn't enough because God protected David. And David describes God's power in the most powerful physical forces that we can see on earth. Storms, volcanoes, tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, all these massive things. Where have you ever been in an earthquake? Anybody been in an earthquake? I've been in a few. Remember 311? That was a pretty big one. What could you do to stop that? Nothing. Have you ever been in a huge tornado? Well, probably not, but if you ever been in a huge tornado, have you stopped, like, get your paper fan and go, just like slow down the tornado? Try that. It works really well. No, it doesn't. It doesn't work. We can't stop those things. When a massive flood comes, what are you going to do? Like, get your pail out and start, like, you know, going like this. Is that going to stop it? No. It's really interesting. As powerful as men may be, even the forces of nature that God is in full control of, man, is nothing compared to that power. And David takes the most powerful things that he can physically see and applies that to the power of God in how he cares for us. God is powerful. And in David's time of weakness, when the people who were trying to destroy David were too strong for David, when he was overwhelmed by trouble, God came in his great power to rescue him and to set him in a safe place. Verse 17 says this, he delivered me from my strong enemy. My enemy was strong, but he delivered me from them which hated me. For they were too strong for me. I wasn't strong enough to defend them, but God defended me. Verse 19, he says this, he brought me forth also into a large place. He's talking about a safe place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. That's interesting, isn't it? He delivered me because he delighted me. Why does God deliver him? Because God delights in him. What's he talking about here? Well, first, he points to how God, in his grace toward David, delighted in David. You're like, oh, man, well, that's David. I wish God delighted in me like that. That sure would be nice. Maybe if God delighted in me like he delighted in David, he would deliver me out of my misery too. The truth is, he does. He does delight in you. God the Father welcomes you, accepts you, and deeply delights in you because you are in his Son, Jesus. In the same way that God loves his own Son, he loves you. That's amazing. That is love. And so that means that you can trust in him to deliver you too. But remember, it's not in your timing that he does this. He doesn't do it when you want him to do it. He does it in his timing. There's another meaning that we can understand what David talks about in verse 20. Verse 20, David says this, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me." For the next few verses, from verse 20 to 24, David talks about how he has been walking on the path of righteousness and how God rewarded him because he chose to stay on that path. What makes this really interesting is that David uses these same words in two different times in his life. The first time is when he becomes king. The second time is when his life is almost over. The first time David says this, in verse 18, David is looking back through his life and he's seeing how God has promised him to be the king of Israel, right? God says, David, you're going to be the king of Israel. But there's a problem. There's already a king in Israel, Saul, right? And it isn't just that Saul is trying to kill David, that's the problem. The problem is that there is already a king on the throne. So David cannot be king until something happens to the king who is on the throne, right? If that king, something doesn't happen to that king, David will not be king. Which brings about the question, when does that king, King Saul, leave the throne? This was something that David had many opportunities to take care of in his life. It would mean that Saul would have to not be king. And there were times when David faced the temptation of letting go of God's timing and taking that timing in his own hands to take Saul's life. Because if Saul was no longer king, guess who gets to be king? David, right? There were times when Saul was completely defenseless against David, where David could have ended Saul and rightfully taken his place as king. But if he did that, it would not be in God's timing. And so, every time he chose to trust in God's timing. And this is what he's talking about here. God rewarded me according to my righteousness. I had plenty of times to become king in my own strength by killing Saul, but I didn't do it. And God rewarded me. He protected me and he rewarded me. Even in those times when it's the temptation to leave the trust of God and to take things in our own hands are there, he didn't do it. And God sustained him and strengthened him. But I also want you to see another time when David says this. Back at the end of his life. At the end of David's life, he had gone through all kinds of things. He had done a lot of terrible things. He had sinned with Bathsheba. He killed a guy trying to cover up some bad things that he did. And even here at the end of his life, with all the wrong things that he had done in his life, David looks back and he says the same things. In 2 Samuel 12, he said, or 2 Samuel 22, he says these same words. How can David say he's righteous with the things that he had done? How can David say, I can live, or God delights in me because I lived a righteous life. After David sinned, this is really interesting. After David sinned, it's really interesting how David responds. He responds in 2nd, you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Samuel 12, right after David sinned with Bathsheba and then killed Uriah, Nathanael the prophet, is it Nathanael or Nathan? I always get those two guys mixed up. Nathan, sorry. Even now I get it mixed up when I think I'm right. Nathan the prophet comes to David and said, man, you messed up big time, right? And he tells him what he did. So like the sin that he had been trying to hide is like revealed to everybody and everybody knows what he did. What did David do? Did he try to cover it up? Did he try to blame other people? No, he repented. He's like, man, I messed up. You're right. And he confessed his sin and then he repented of it. Psalm 51 is his cry of repentance. And in Psalm 51, after his sin is fully revealed in front of everybody, he says this, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. David repented of his sin. While he did suffer the consequences of his sin, David also received complete forgiveness from God for his sin because of his repentance. David can say those same words that he sang when he became king. He can sing those same words at the end of his life as a testimony of God cleansing and cleaning his heart, even when he messed up, because he repented and God forgave him and cleansed his heart. This is really helpful for us. Did you know that Psalm 18 tells us so many different aspects of how sufficient and how good God is? God's grace is fully sufficient to strengthen our walk in paths of righteousness during very difficult times. His power is fully sufficient to deliver us when we have no strength and no help. We cry to him, and his help comes. His mercy is fully sufficient to completely forgive us when we sin. This is the confidence that David had in his deliverer. His confidence in his deliverer wasn't just in times of danger. It was also in times when he needed help to walk the path that God wanted him to walk on. That was when he needed help and God gave it to him. His confidence in his deliverer was also when he messed up big time. He sinned and he did what he knew he shouldn't have done. And he trusted in God to deliver him from his own sin. This is the confidence that David has in his deliverer. This is the confidence that you also get to have in your deliverer. There's more that we can look at this psalm, but we're running out of time. So let me remind us of four things. The first thing I want you to remember is this. Remember the ways that God has already delivered you. The names that David gave to God to remind him. You know the song we sing sometimes? Here I raise my Ebenezer, one of the weirdest words in a hymn. You know what I'm talking about? Come thou fount of every blessing. Come thou fount of every blessing. And then this random word, like here I raise my Ebenezer. Is he talking about like Scrooge? You know, what is he talking about here? Right? You know what that Ebenezer is talking about? It's a time in Israel where this king, one of the kings of Israel, was surrounded by enemies. And there was literally nothing he could do. So he cried out to God with everything he had. And God rescued him. And so the king puts this stone altar at the place where God rescued him. And he named it Ebenezer. Like God, it means something like God is my rescuer or something like amazing like that, right? And so when the person who wrote that hymn said, "Here I raise my Ebenezer," he's thinking back about that time when that king had raised this statue to remind all of Israel, that stone altar to remind all of Israel, this is where God protected us. Every time you see this, remember who God is. He takes care of you. In our most hopeless moment, God took care of us. And this is what the song is talking about. Here I raise my Ebenezer, saying, this is the place I remember God is good, right? This is what David is doing right here, reminding himself. This name reminds me of God in this way. This reminds me of God in this way. So remember the ways that God takes care of you. Second, if you are crying out to God to help you, know that he hears you. Even though in this moment you may not know when he's going to come, just like Mary and Martha didn't know when Jesus was going to come, know that help is on the way in God's timing. Third thing is this. If you are in the middle of difficulty, purpose in your heart to trust in God's power and God's strength. David used the most powerful things he could think of to describe God's power, right? The most powerful things to give a small description of what God's power is actually like. So when you're going through those tough times, remember those forces of nature as a way to remember the power of your heavenly Father. Stay in his word. Find your joy and strength in him, even in those difficult times. And lastly, if you do mess up, if you do something you know you shouldn't have done, repent of your sin. Turn away from it. Because you know that as great as his power is in rescuing you, as great as his faithfulness is to you, so also as great is his mercy and love for you in forgiving you of your sin and cleansing your heart so that you can say, like David did, even after he messed up so many times in so many ways, God has allowed me to have a clean heart, to walk a clean path because he protected me, he helped me, and he forgave me and cleansed me of my sin. So I stand here today, a broken man, a man who has done a lot of bad things, but I can stand here today saying that I am cleansed, not because I kept myself clean, but because God, in his forgiveness, cleansed me. This is the promise that you have. This is all that is ours as well from Psalm 18, reminding us of who God is. These are the things that Mary and Martha are about to experience next week when Jesus comes in his timing, in a way that they never expected Jesus to answer their prayer, so that they could see that no force, nothing could stop the power of Jesus, not even the power of death itself. That is what we get to look forward to next week. Let me go ahead and pray. And we will be done. Father, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for the power of your grace and the power of your rescue. When we are struggling, when we have difficulty, when all seems hopeless, we know that it's not true because you are our hope. You are our hope. And because of who you are, no moment is hopeless. Thank you for your confidence, the confidence that you give to us in who you are. Thank you for the power that you have to rescue us, the power that you have to sustain us even in temptation, the power that you have to cleanse us from sin, the power in which you love us and sustain us throughout our whole life. Remind us of that. Remind us of those things that you show us in your life. We ask this and thank you for all of the ways that you take care of us. In the name of your Son who came to earth to die for us, to rescue us from even death itself. It's in his name we pray this and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 18, it's a good psalm. Go through it this week. Just soak it in. Soak it in at how faithful and good God is. Let me close with a prayer of blessing, and then we will be done for today. I'll pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.